Thank you, choir. With Anthony being out of town on his missions trip, we get the pleasure of having a guest speaker this week and next. And this week's is someone who I genuinely enjoy and get excited to listen to every time he comes. He's been here a few times now and needs no long introduction outside of saying he's a great friend of the church. And Gary, we're excited to have you, so the floor is yours,
sir. Thank you, sir. Good morning, everybody. Looky here, I got a note. It says, Pastor Gary Osteen, thanks for taking another step today for the Lord. Preach the word, brother. Love you, man. Pastor Anthony Clore. P.S. I am praying for you from Uganda. Thank you, brother. I got a call the other day from a number. It had looked like 16 numbers on it. I said, well, I'm not answering that one. That's definitely about your car's extended warranty. You know what I mean? Not answering that guy. And then it flashed across from Uganda. And so I picked it up, and lo and behold, it was Anthony. And we talked for a few minutes, and I told him, he said, so what are you preaching on? I was like, man, I ain't got no idea. I really don't. I said, I had a few things in my heart, on my head, that the Lord's laid on my heart. He said, oh, you're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So we prayed over it, and so everything that I had scripted up to that point, I was like, Lord. And then we prayed, and then it's like the Holy Spirit just took over. So I was so excited to write that message, and I wrote that message, and I worked on it all day yesterday in my shop, all day till about 2 o'clock. Then about 2 o'clock, the Lord just cut it off. He said, we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch gears. You're going to preach about something else. I was like, are you serious? And I was like, man, I can't do that. He's like, oh, you can. And you will. And so we are. And so then again this morning he called at about, I guess it was about 10 minutes to 7. And the phone rang and I was up and he said, hey, did I wake you? I was like, no, heck no. Oh man, I've been up, man. What are you talking about? And he went on to tell me that they had church this morning. It was great. And they were having pastors meetings in like a group where they encouraged the pastors in Uganda. And he said, hey, listen to this. He said, and he's talking to kids, hey, kids, can y'all say Pastor Gary? He said, Pastor Gary. And it was a bunch of them. You could tell it was just full of kids and they were having a great time. So I'm encouraged. I'm excited for my brother. I'm scared to death to do anything like that. I am scared. I have a phobia of traveling anywhere that I can't theoretically walk home from. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Even if it was like Alaska, I could walk home from Alaska if I had to. If I had to, I think in my mind I can do it, I'll do it. But over the seas, man, I can't swim that far. But we talked about it all week long. Beautiful are the feet upon the mountain who get to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, that's great. Of course, we talked about it all week long, Anthony and I did, and we were thinking it, but it's totally wrong scripture. But it doesn't matter. It's still beautiful. So earlier in the week, and Corbin, now you and I were talking about this. We write stuff down all week long or stuck it in our Bibles that we're thinking of. I said, oh, I'll use that. Oh, I'll use that. And I write it down, and then we forget where we write it down at. You know what I mean? I'm a sticky note person. I'll stick them all over the truck, and then they blow out the window. So somebody will get the encouragement, but not me. So I found this morning that I had wrote last week, and it says, call out to Jesus. I don't know what that meant, but I did write Fork Union, so evidently it's got something to do with you guys. Being a Christian requires a few things. Number one, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes I ask, well, who's my neighbor? It's whoever that hardhead is standing right in front of you. That's your neighbor. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they're your best buddy. Sometimes they're not. But you still have to love them. When you love your God, when you aspire to be like Him and you want to take on His attributes, if you truly want to be a Christian or Christ-like, you must be willing to do what He does and to do it when He asks you to do it. And when He asks you to do it, it probably will not be at the most opportune time. Amen? At least for us. You probably think, well, I can't do that. I don't have the means for that, but you can. God has given you the provisions necessary to carry out His will. He who calls you is also faithful to see it done. When you / we realize not what it is we can't do, but what we can do, the world around us starts to change. And when our world around us starts to change, it changes the world of people around us. And here it is. How beautiful are they, the feet upon the mountain that bring the gospel. And sometimes those feet come in many different forms. Sometimes there's preachers. Sometimes there's warriors, as Kat was talking about. And sometimes they're the words of a friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the words that you've given me. May they not fall on deaf ears. Lord, I pray that who has ears, let them hear. And just let me speak your message, not mine, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to tell you a story, another little story. I love those. Of course, you know I'm a story guy. And I'm going to tell you a story about my best friend, my bestest buddy, my Jamie Pace story. One of about 1,000 Jamie Pace stories, but one of only about 5 that I can tell you in church. Okay? Mr. James Henry Pace, I met long about 5th grade. And to be honest with you, I really didn't know how to take the old boy. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. You may not believe, but I was kind of shy back then. Didn't really have a lot to say. Really kind of quiet. And old Jamie was not. So that kind of scared me right off the bat. Fiery redhead in every sense of the word. Now those red hairs have been replaced by some gray ones. But deep down, we know he's a redhead. People were and still are drawn to him. And I was too. To this day. He's just that lovable. You know what I'm saying? You just can't help it. And it didn't take us long to hit it off. I'd spend a lot of time at his house, and he'd spend a lot of time at mine, driving our parents crazy. Now, Jamie is from Scottsville, okay? Like southern Scottsville. But he's one of those friends that I didn't see. You know, our paths kind of took us apart. We're not far from each other, but, you know, lives, your families take you in that direction. But he's one of those people that it never fails. It doesn't matter how long you've been apart. When you get back together, it's like you just picked up, like you just saw your buddy yesterday. Jamie was a fighter. He's notorious. Didn't take a whole lot of stuff off of anybody. And if he liked you, then he loved you. And he wasn't afraid to show it. And he doesn't mind showing it. Old rough kisses on your cheek, hugs, all that. Very affectionate. Wears his heart on his sleeve. Jamie has a pretty much his own lingo, okay? Like I said, he's from southern Scottsville. So sometimes it's a little hard to keep up with him if you don't know him. I remember this is one of my favorite stories to tell. One time back in school, we were young. And he called up, and you know, that was when you had the old dial tone like that phone. He said, hey, Buckshot, what's happening, Chugga? I was like, man, I was just thinking about you. I said, you must have like ESP or something. He said, huh? No, we ain't even got cable down here. No. That's him. I'm telling you, that's him. That's one of the things I love about him. Another is his honesty. He's not much of a sugarcoater, okay? Not much at all. Jamie's that one friend who's brutally honest with you. He's going to tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. So don't ask him if you don't really want to know. And he would say it in a way that I could understand it. He would say it in a way that it would enter my mind through way of my heart. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Jamie had become a trusted advisor to me. And he still is to this day. Today I want to tell you about another trusted advisor. This one was to the king of Israel. And his name was Nathan. Now you know Nathan. You may not remember his name, but you know him. Trusted advisor to King David, and no doubt sent by God. He was a prophet. Now, when I hear the word prophet, and maybe some of you too, when I hear the word prophet, I think predictor of future events. Now, that's partly true, but that's not always true. I had a report to do this past week, and it was about prophets and stuff like that. There are 31,000 scriptures in the Bible. 8,000 of them deal with prophecy. But that's not always predicting future events. Prophet just means speaking for God. But for every true prophet, there are dozens of false prophets. Just like for every true friend you have dozens of acquaintances. You really do. Now the name Nathan means he that God has given. And boy, did he live up to it. So today's scripture, if you want to turn to it, is 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I'm going to give you a little backstory on what we're going to be reading. It's the story of Nathan, how he rebukes David. But you got to back up a little bit. Everybody know the story of David and Bathsheba? All right, in the springtime, David sends his warriors out to go to war. But he stays behind. Not where he should be. He should be with his men. So when he stays behind, he comes out one night and he looks down and he sees this beautiful woman bathing. And he's like, oh. So he sends some of his servants to go get her and bring her up there. Well, it was Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah the Hittite, who was one of David's men. He has relations with her. She gets in the family way, and old David's up the creek, if you know what I'm saying. So he calls Uriah back. He says, hey, come on back, man. Hang out, have some wine, go see your family. And Uriah's like, no, I can't do that. My men are out sleeping in the fields. I can't do that. And he's like, oh, sure. So David goes to bed, wakes up, and he's asleep in the foyer in the front of his place there, his palace. He does it again the next night, trying to get him to go home to cover up the sin that David had done. You know what I'm saying? So if he goes home, sleeps with his wife, who's to say, this was pre-DNA testing, who's to say that that wasn't Uriah's baby and not David's? He's trying his best to cover it up. He's doing whatever he can do. He's grasping at straws. He's struggling here because he knows what he's done is wrong. Enter Nathan. Chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb. He had bought it. He raised it, grew it up with him and his children. It shared in his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or his own cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. David was angry. I mean, mad.
at what Nathan had told him. Now, what I forgot to tell you, in which we all know, David had already sent Uriah back to the front lines and sent a note with him to his commander saying, hey, put Uriah on the front line, withdraw from him, let him be killed. Now, Nathan knew that too. So David burned with anger against the man. And Nathan looks at David and he said, David, you are that man. And it broke him down. Because he knew what he did was wrong. And he was trying his best to get out of it. Now that's a tough job, Nathan Scott, amen? I mean a tough job. David was king. And well, let's be honest here. Who dares call out the king? I mean, you're asking for it. You're putting yourself out there. Especially on something so important. Of all the things, the sinful things that David did. Coveting, theft, adultery, murder. You've got to think that Nathan was in a pretty tight spot right there. I mean, I know you're speaking for God, and I know he's called, and I know he's ordained. But you just saw what he did to David. I mean, David did to Uriah. You got to think, in Nathan's spot, maybe I'm the next one. So let's weigh it out. You got David, king of Israel, over here, and God on the other. Nathan just watched him send Uriah. He could have very easily done that again. Or David could have just said, hey, Uriah, if you just keep your mouth shut and just go along with it, I will make it worth your while. Nathan wouldn't do that. Couldn't do that. Nathan was a true prophet. Nathan was a true friend. Who would only tell David what he needed to hear. He would only tell David what God would have him hear. Because that's what a true prophet does. That's what a true Christ-like believer does. We have to speak the truth. But we can do it in a tactful way. Everything is so divided these days. You're either anti this or pro that. Or you're for this, but you're against that. You're either on this side of the aisle or you're on this side of the aisle. There are people on both sides of the aisle. There are left wing, right wing, but guess what? We're all the same bird. Why can't we just talk it out? Speak for God. Nathan was a prophet. He was content to do God's will and nothing else. He was God's spokesperson. I do believe that's what you and I are. Spokesmen and women for God. Not an easy job at all. But oh, is it rewarding. Not much glory in that job, but oh, is it worth it? You see, as a prophet, Nathan was required to confront sin, even the sin of a king, even the sin of a friend. It took a lot of courage, a lot of skill, and a lot of tact to be able to speak to David in a way that he would be aware of his wrongdoings, but yet still in a way that he didn't feel threatened or judged, but yet loved. Just like Nathan, just like Jamie, we can do these things in a constructive way. We can talk about these things and we can make these people aware of we're just like you. We can make our way to the minds by way of the heart. Season your words with wisdom. Because how you present your message may be just as important as the message itself. And we should not ever be afraid to tell the truth to those we care about. Nathan wasn't in it for the reward. He wasn't in it for what David could give him. Jamie, my friend, wasn't in it for what I could offer him. It's clear to me now, 30 years later, that Jamie was put in my path by God for a reason. Nathan was put in David's path for a reason. You are put in the path of someone else for a reason. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news. There's a lot of good news being proclaimed from this church right here. Not only right here in Fork Union, halfway across the world. You think that in this little town, we'll just take care of our own right here, we'll be fine. You guys are spread out and reaching the world. Speaking the truth. Sharing the gospel. Being the prophet. Being the Nathan that God sent David. I'm excited. I am excited for what's happening here. I am so proud and so thankful just to be a small little part of it. And I want to give you the permission that if you ever, ever have anything to me to say like that, please do. Now I'm going to come down here and I'm going to pray for Anthony in his journey. And I'm going to pray for his words to be seasoned. And if somebody wants to meet me, we'll wrap it up. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for those feet, how dirty they may be. Thank you for those feet that are willing to go where you send them. Thank you for those hearts that are encouraged to speak the truth, even though it may cost them their life. Being your servant, I don't see anywhere in their Bible yet that I've seen where it's easy. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Give us the know-how. Give us the courage, Lord, to go be what you called us to be. Christ-like disciples. I pray that you would be with our brother, Anthony, and all those who are traveling with him. Lord, let him know right now. Just lay your hand upon him and say, hey, we're praying for you. There's people behind you. Go speak boldly. Tell those people who don't know Jesus who I am. Who is he? Who he is theologically, but more importantly, who is he to you? Lord, I pray that you would watch over them, that you would keep them safe. I pray for his family that are here carrying on while he's gone. I pray for all the hands and feet that are holding him up, that are propping him up, and to send him on this journey. And I pray, Lord, that you would give him the seasoned words of a prophet. Lord, I pray all these things in the precious, and I mean precious, name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.